Are you for him? Not only for us, but you're also for him. I believe the level, you have to tell me if this is true or not, the level of blessing from my children and their children and their children is the level of my belief in him. True or false? Is it conditional? Or not? Is it my level of belief and trust in who he is? I think it is. Maybe not. But I would like to say that too, that what they said, the Lord bless you. Because there's nothing greater than to have the blessing of the Lord upon you. Like the song says, I could wish you joy and peace to last a life long. I could wish you sunshine or a cheerful day. I could wish you all the happiness that this life could bring. I could wish you a big bank account, like we talked about. But when I wish you Jesus, I wish you everything. Say, Lord bless you. Before I get into the message, I had two paths that I was trying to decide on where to go, what to preach on today. And the one way I was thinking about, I kept thinking about a song. I'm going to sing the song this morning, but I went the other way in my message. So I have three guys that are going to come up here and help me sing a song. So just kind of, I don't know, this song, it may or may not fit in with the message. It's just, I hope it can be a blessing to you. So. You guys can come on up, and we're going to have a little quartet singing here this morning. They don't quite make sense, but I trust that the message will speak to you anyway. Listen to the words.
So, yeah, like on the chorus, it says, near thee, my son, is the old wayside cross. And then it says, like a gray friar cowl in lichens and moss. So, a gray friar, I mean, it's talking about a friar that they had these kind of hooded things. They were gray, and he's covered it. And lichens is kind of a plant, algae-based thing, sort of like moss also. So they're similar, moss, and they grow in like damp, dark places that are kind of out of the sun, out of the normal. So a gray friar covered in lichens and moss is kind of off to the side and not notice a lot.
Which way shall I take? Shouts a voice in the night. I'm a pilgrim, a weary, and spent is my life. And I seek for a palace that rests on the hill, but between us a stream lies sullen and chill. Near me, my
We sang a song, the second song we sang this morning. We sang, I Believe in a God. And it goes like this. I believe in a God even though I can't see him. Even when he is silent, I know he is there. I know if I wait on the Lord and will listen, in a still small voice he speaks to me here. I believe in the sun, even when I can't see it. It's there when the clouds keep it hidden from view. I know it will shine once again in its splendor when the clouds break away and let it shine. And the last verse, I believe in a love that is true and tender. For God in his love sent it down from above. I believe in a love even when I can't feel it in this cold, empty world where few know his love. How would you rate your belief in God this morning? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest, what level of belief do you have in God? Is it high? I see some of you nodding. Is it sizzling, like Gene asked this last Sunday? Are you hot? Is it sizzling? Is your belief high? Is your trust in God high? Or is it lukewarm? Is it low? Is it medium? Where do you find yourself this morning? Your belief in God. These verses, these are the two main verses that I just want to think about this morning. And I will be reading some more scripture beside this, but just wanted to put these up so you can see them. Jamin had preached, you came across this verse in 2 Chronicles 20:20, I think a couple, several months ago when you preached. But the setting here with Jehoshaphat was that Jehoshaphat was the leader of Israel at this time, and there was two tribes of people that were coming towards him. It was the Moabites and the Ammonites. They joined together, and they were going to come attack Israel. And Jehoshaphat got word about this, and it says he feared greatly about it. But what Jehoshaphat did is he went to the temple of God. He went into the presence of God, and he sought him and said, "Lord, what should we do? Will you help us in this situation?" And just to make the story short, soon the Spirit of God came upon a man there that was an Israelite. And the Spirit of God told this man to tell Jehoshaphat that, yes, the Lord is going to fight for you. It says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." That was the message that God gave through this prophet to Jeremiah. The next morning, so Jehoshaphat, can you imagine the relief he felt? And Jehoshaphat, I don't think at this point, with this word that came to him, I don't think Jehoshaphat was thinking, you know what, I have an inkling, or I have a gut feeling, or I have a sense that God is actually maybe going to do what he said he's going to do. Do you think that was Jehoshaphat's thinking? Because the next morning, when it was time to go and meet these two tribes, the Israelites, it says they got up, they rose up early. And Jehoshaphat, this is what he said. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.'" Jehoshaphat wasn't at this point saying, "I have a good inkling this morning that I believe that God is going to show up." Not positive, but let's believe and go. That was not where Jehoshaphat was at. He was like, "I know that God is going to show up. I believe what he brought to us. I believe it 100%. And that's what he was trying to communicate to them. "I believe." And he was trying to tell them, "Believe in the Lord your God. Believe in him." And I don't know, I want you to keep that in mind, that thought process. Believe in the Lord your God. Now, if you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. You know, the interesting thing with that Jehoshaphat situation is that they didn't just stand there and wait for God. They still had the roof. They still went towards him. And the rest of the story is that God did fight for him, and they had, like, won that battle. But it was just simply in them believing that God, they could go out in the mindset and the belief that God was going to do what he said. All right, now we're going to go to John chapter 1. And I just love this verse 12 here. I'm just going to read 1 through 17 just to kind of give you a context here and just to get the word of God in your minds this morning. John chapter 1. Now remember, this is the John that spent time with Jesus. He walked with him. In fact, one place it says he laid in his bosom. It says he touched him. He felt him. He watched him. He saw him. He interacted with Jesus on a personal level on this earth. And John, I'm telling you, you read to the book of John, and you see it over and over, the word belief. John wasn't doubtful at this point anymore who Jesus was. He was absolutely convinced, and he's trying to convince us, John and Jesus together, convince us that this man is worthy of believing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, okay, I'm just going to repeat that. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When did you get saved? And how did you get saved? It seems kind of funny to be speaking this message to a bunch of believers. Of course you believe, right? Is there anyone here? Raise your hand, anyone. Is there anyone here that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I don't see any hands go up. So I'm assuming you all believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So think about this a little bit. When did the apostles get saved? At what point were the apostles considered a Christian or saved? Do we ever read that they prayed a prayer? Or that they accepted Jesus into their heart? Do we ever read that? But we do read that when Jesus called them to follow him, that they forsook and they followed. And I believe maybe their belief wasn't even very strong at that point. But their belief, I believe, is what actually saved them. Their belief that Jesus was who he said he was. It says there in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And it says, and then it says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I think receive and believe it's like almost splitting a hair. I'm not sure that there is a difference between receiving and believing. But receiving has the idea of accepting when Jesus came, even like John the Baptist talked about who he's coming. And then Jesus came and he talked about who he was. Many people, not all, but many people rejected him and said, no, you're not that person. And they just refused him. But to the ones that actually received him for who he was, it said, yes, I do choose to believe that you are the Son of God. To them, it gave power to become the sons of God. I like that thought. It's not, that's why I ask again this morning, where is your belief in God? You know, I think we can have unbelieving believers. That's kind of a crazy thought, right? Can you have an unbelieving believer? Let me say it this way. Can you say a prayer, you know, often at the end of a revival or something like that, maybe the pastor will say the sinner's prayer with me, right? And so a lot of people can say that prayer and never have a belief in God. I believe that's an unbelieving believer. Maybe it's not even a belief, but I'm trying to make a point here. Our point, the thing that saved us, folks, is do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And I believe when you believe that in your heart, it will affect every area of your life. You will no longer be the same because you can't. Because of that belief in your heart, it changes. Paul, when that bright light shone down on Paul, like he was on the Damascus Road and a bright light hit him, and Paul was down there and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Paul was confused who he was. "Who are you, Lord?" And this was the response that came. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And after several days of spending time with the disciples, Paul, it says, went to preaching, and you know what his message was? It tells us right there in Acts. I think it was in Acts where we're talking about that. It says that he preached Christ, that he is the Son of God. Interesting. Paul missed it before this. He didn't recognize who Jesus was. And Paul, we don't really know, this was his conversion time, and we don't really see him praying a prayer either, but we see his belief in Jesus changing to, "I believe," and he preached that he's the Son of God. The disciples were asked by Jesus, "Who do men say that I am?" And I have that here. "Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." He said to them, "Of whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven." You know you can't make that statement unless from your heart, unless the Son, the Father, reveals it to you. And here it says in John, and the word in verse 13, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And so, and I want you to see all these other verses here that John, I think there's almost like 100 verses in just the book of John that talk about believing. And I just picked out some of them. Some of you are more familiar with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John 6:35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 8:24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
And then that last one there, John 20:31. "But these are written that ye," this is John speaking, John who had interacted with Jesus and had lived life with him. This is what he's saying, "that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life." You will never be a child of God without believing that he knew that the Father sent Jesus and that he is the Son of God. You'll never get saved, you'll never be in a relationship with Jesus any other way. Who's the first grade teacher in there? What was her name? Miss Bear? I think a lot of her children. Was it Miss Bear? I don't know how many children prayed a prayer with Miss Bear. But some of my children did, and one of them did it in Walmart. I'm not sure which one it was anymore. But because of what Mrs. Bear said, they prayed a prayer in Walmart asking Jesus into their heart. Were they saved? Do you get saved by a formula, by asking Jesus into your heart? Or do you get saved by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God? You see, I think the rich young ruler prayed a prayer. I think the rich young ruler had a formula for being saved. Because Jesus asked him about all the commandments, and he said, all of these that I have done since my youth. I think the rich young ruler would have been an outstanding member in most churches. But I think he missed the part of fully and truly believing and trusting in Jesus that he was actually who he was and he could do what he said he would. That might be sitting here a little bit, but I'm open for input on some of this stuff. But if you really want to see this fleshed out, turn into Acts chapter 2. And I just want to finish out with Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire that sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues when the Spirit came to utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was going abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And all that were there were in the heart, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherever we were born? Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth, being blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, anointed by miracles and wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter's trying to explain to them who this man was that they actually killed, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. We're going to skip some of this stuff. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even the name of the Lord God. And with many other words did they testify to the Lord, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Listen to this. Then they gladly received his word. There you have that word, received again. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. soul that's actually possessed out here. But, you know, just the fact, I guess my point this morning is, do you believe? Or do you have one foot in and one foot out? Do you feel like this is half up to you, this is half up to God to make life more? Or are you fully committed to Jesus and what he did? I don't know, like when we do evangelism, and we're talking about doing some of that here in the next month, 6 weeks, some evangelism. So what's the goal? Should we be asking people, do you believe who Jesus is? And should that be our approach? We're telling people who Jesus is and what he did here on earth for us. And then, do you believe? Is that our approach? Believing means trusting that Jesus is God in flesh that came to earth to die for your sins. It means resting on him so completely that he is your only hope of salvation. It means committing your all to Jesus, knowing that he alone can save you. It means yielding yourself to be possessed by the one in whom you believe. And the New English Version says it like this, that verse, John 1:12, it says like this, to those who have yielded him their allegiance, he gave the right to become the children of God. When we say believe, we are meaning more than just acknowledgement of Christ. It says the devil believed too, right? But it's more than just an acknowledgement of Christ. We mean adherence to Christ and his words, his promises, his future hope, and trust in what he has done for sinners by his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession that could not be done by any human. A transfer of trust that affects our lives and behavior forever. Do you believe? John, the lukewarm passage in Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, if any man, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, come to me. So, like, the whole salvation concept of that, I want to be careful here. I really want to be careful. Like, I know that Jesus brings conviction to our hearts. And, like, I know there's young people here this morning that God is calling. God is calling you to him. And some of you have said yes to that calling. That calling is a belief. It is a calling to believe that he is the Son of God. And that outside of him, there is no hope as far as eternal life. That is your, that is salvation. When you believe, when you can believe that in your heart, that is salvation. Gene, you want to add some clarity to this?
I mean, you're sitting on the reading, that's very good, it's asking. You believe, and you included the yielding in that, and like believing and yielding are not always the same. Believing and yielding and receiving are not always the same, but you're not.
what we don't believe in. Reverence.